When my mother's mother was in her early 20s, a century ago, a suitor took her duck hunting in a rowboat on a lake near Austin, Texas, where she grew up. He steadied his shotgun by resting the barrel on her right shoulder. She was sitting in the bow, and when he fired, he not only missed the duck, but also permanently damaged her hearing, especially on that side. The loss became more severe as she got older, and by the time I was in college, she was having serious trouble with telephones. "I'm glad it's not raining," I shouted for the third or fourth time, while my roommates snickered. Her deafness probably contributed to one of her many eccentricities, ending phone conversations by suddenly hanging up. I'm a grandparent myself now, and I know lots of people with hearing problems. A guy I sometimes play golf with came close to making a hole in one, then complained that no one in our foursome had complimented him on his shot, even though, a moment before, all three of us had complimented him on his shot. We were walking behind him. My parents-in-law, like many older people, have a hard time ignoring a ringing telephone, but also a hard time hearing what callers are saying. They have turned up the volume on their kitchen telephone so high that even if you're in another room, you can't help but eavesdrop. The man who cuts my wife's hair has begun wearing two hearing aids to compensate for damage that he attributes to years of exposure to professional-quality blow dryers. My sister has hearing aids, too. She traces her problem to repeatedly listening at maximum volume to Anne's Angry and Bitter Breakup Song playlist, which she created while going through a divorce. I know several people who seem to be hard of hearing, but could probably be described more accurately as hard of listening, a condition that often coexists with deafness, or transitions into it, and makes it worse. One of my wife's grandfathers lost most of his hearing in old age, and another relative said of him, "He never did listen, and now he can't hear." My own ears ring all the time, a condition called tinnitus. I blame the Chinese, because the ringing started in 2006, at around the time I was recovering from a month-long cold that I'd contracted while breathing the filthy air in Beijing, and whose symptoms were made worse by changes in cabin pressure during the long flight home. Tinnitus is usually accompanied by hearing loss. It's said to affect 45 million Americans, including a surprising number of people in their teens and 20s and 30s. Although so many of the people I talked to while working on this book told me they have it, that I wouldn't be surprised if the real number is higher. The ringing in my ears is constant, high-pitched, and fairly loud, but I'm usually able to ignore it unless I'm lying awake in bed or, as I discovered recently, writing about tinnitus. The National Center for Health Statistics has estimated that 37 million Americans have lost some hearing. According to the National Academy of Sciences, hearing loss is, worldwide, the fifth leading cause of years lived with disability. The World Health Organization has estimated that by 2050, there will be 1 billion people with a disabling hearing loss. Two-thirds of Americans who are 70 or older have lost some hearing, according to various estimates. Hearing loss is also the second leading cause of service-connected disability claims made by military veterans. Tinnitus is first. All this bad news is made worse by the fact that the ears you're born with are the only ears you get. A newborn's inner ears are fully developed and are the same size as an adult's, and unlike taste buds and olfactory receptors, which the body constantly replenishes, the most fragile elements don't regenerate.